Welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design, the Dr. C podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, or simply Dr. C. Tune in every 2 to 5 weeks, every Monday, as we explore the unique journeys of entrepreneurs. Our podcast sheds light on the paths entrepreneurs have taken in their respective industries. Each episode, we dive into the stories of entrepreneurs, their challenges, triumphs, and the insights gained along their journey. We believe in the power of innovation, resilience, and the entrepreneurial spirit that drives success. Together, we'll learn from a diverse array of entrepreneurs united by their passion for making a difference. Now is the time to unlock the secrets of entrepreneurship. Now is the time to be inspired, to learn, and to craft your own path to success. Join me, Dr. C, as we embark on this journey together.
Thank you so much, Kimberly, for being here today. It is such a pleasure to have you. And I would love for you to just dive into your journey, how you got here today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. So what I do is I'm a confectioner. I make all sorts of different kinds of candy and all with natural ingredients, no artificial colors, flavors, or preservatives. I really like to focus on the quality of the ingredients instead of trying to dress them up as something else. So that's a big part of what I do.
Oh, I love it. And when I met you, I was like, oh my gosh, your chocolates look beautiful. I couldn't have them, but they look so good. And I know you have such a rich family history around candy and chocolate. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So actually, my family owns a candy factory in Minnesota, and it has been there for 110 years now. And my great-great grandfather started it. He came over from Syria and started the candy factory in Minnesota.
It's amazing because the idea of getting to be able to make candy, make chocolates, where did you find that passion? I know it was already like in your blood essentially, but what made you decide to really take this and move forward with it?
It's always kind of a interesting response to that because I was in my early 20s and I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life. I worked in restaurants, hadn't really, like, I'd done college and things like that, but I couldn't really find what I wanted to do with that. I couldn't really find any direction. And then it's kind of a weird mix of things. I did some things for a friend's birthday and stuff like that. And like, I realized that it was something that I was interested in and it was in my family. And it was something I was like, I'm going to give it a try. And when I did, it just clicked. It was like the only thing I wanted to do. It made sense to my brain. And it was the only thing that I could take from my brain what I wanted to do and make exactly that. And it just, from then on, I was like, that's the only thing I want to do with my life.
I love it. And I love that it just clicked because a lot of times individuals will go to college and they're like, okay, I'll get the good job. I'll do what I'm supposed to do, like society tells us. But I think there's always a deeper meaning. And it's hard to make that decision at 17, 18 years old of like, okay, what do I want to do the rest of my life? And
yeah,
sometimes feeling lost is a very normal thing, especially even in your 20s. Like, I mean, I was lost until I was like the late 20s, even though I had a whole career. But I think that's part of it, exploring and being open to it. And so when you did decide to go all in, what did those early stages look like for you when you were building?
Oh, it was a hot mess. I mean, I was living downtown. I'm a Colorado native. I live in downtown. I was working at a bar and my kitchen was like one of those little galley kitchens, like no dishwasher. And, you know, and I'm teaching myself, like I had no culinary experience outside of working in restaurants. And I literally just bought stacks of books and started figuring things out. But I mean, like getting used to, you know, the high altitude, like I didn't even think about that at first. And my caramels were coming out solid as a rock. Like, I was, you know, it was definitely a lot of trial and error. And I look back at some of that stuff from then and I'm like, I'm amazed people even bought that. I really love the support. Like I was, you know, my parents, like I was the kid that burned water. Like I was not a person that even leaned that way. And when I told them that this was what I wanted to do and stuff, they laughed. They were like, you're kidding, right? And Yeah. And like, so it was a lot of ups and downs, but it was like, it was the only thing that I wanted to go back to. Like, it was the only thing that like, man, I just messed up this huge batch of caramel, but I don't care because I'm going to try again. Like,
I love that. The perseverance, right? Like, no matter what. And, you know, it's funny because I think a lot of people, and correct me if you think I'm wrong or not, but with when you're baking versus cooking, like baking and chocolates and candy, it's very much of like just a science. Like, I think. Versus cooking, it's like very experimental. And that's why, like, I don't like cooking, but I love baking. I mean, I've gotten better with liking cooking, but. But it's that process. And I love that you just really took matters into your own hands. You got the research under your belt. You were reading books, figuring it out. You didn't give up after the first time turned out rock solid with the caramel.
Yeah.
But you persevered. And through building and your journey, what were some of the obstacles you've had to overcome while building your business?
Well, I would say the biggest obstacle, I got married. My first marriage was, gosh, it was, now I can't even remember what year I got married, but I got married to someone who was a narcissist, who was emotionally abusive. And we had a daughter together in 2016. And she was 6 months old, and I left him and got divorced. And I will say that, like, that was probably the biggest hurdle, was not just the divorce, but the relationship in general. Like, it was still very early. And that's why I tell most people that I didn't even really start until after that, because I was just so weighed down, and it was such a healing process afterwards. And that was probably the biggest thing. And then, you know, I've got my daughter, and I'm trying to work 40 hours a week, and I'm a single mom, and I wasn't going to give up on my business. And it was definitely, looking back at those years, is just like, I'm amazed at how far I've come, and I wouldn't change it for anything. But I would definitely say that trying to do everything and trying to get back on my feet, it was a lot, especially to not just totally give up on having a business.
Well, I appreciate your vulnerability and just that transformation of what you've had to endure. I know you gave us little highlights of it, but I'm sure that just the process of going through that, and what it sounds like to me is that pain turned into purpose, going through everything you did into something that was so healing and moving, and being able to bring joy to people with just the taste of chocolate, like that factor, you know? I mean, there's so much meaning behind things, I think. Not everything, but a lot of things, especially when we've gone through something so hard in our lives, and everybody's hard looks a little different, but you turned it into something so beautiful, and you didn't give up on yourself. And being a single mother, being able to make sure that your daughter had everything she needed while working full time, while building your business, while taking care of her and maintaining life.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of women in particular that are single moms, not to cut out single fathers, but a lot of single moms are doing so many different things. And how did you really balance everything, or I don't like the word balance, integrate everything into your life, motherhood, entrepreneurship, working full time? What did that process look like for you?
Yeah, it was hard at first, because I, you know, like, my ex-husband had kind of made sure that I was financially dependent on him and everything like that, especially after my daughter was born. And once I left him, like, I was starting over. Like, I was only working a part-time job when I left him. I ended up having to move into my parents' house, and like, I was 29 years old, and I was basically starting my life over. And so, I mean, like, the first couple of years were very much like trying to reestablish myself and trying to find my identity again. And, you know, and also, like, I'm a first time mom, and I'm also trying to balance first time mom and divorcing someone who's emotionally abusive, and trying to, you know, get out on my own and be able to be you know, be able to support myself and my daughter and move out of my parents' house and everything like that. And it was not easy. I mean, it was definitely like there were days, especially once I started to get more independent and everything, that I, you know, I had an apartment and I had my job that I, you know, 40 hours a week. And then it would be like the times that my daughter was with her dad or something like that, it was, I'm going straight home and trying to get everything together for orders. And, you know, and it was like doing stuff in my own kitchen. And I was excited to get like two or three orders. But yeah, it was very much time management, getting really good at time management.
Yes. You know, you ask a busy person to do something, they'll get it done, you know?
Yeah.
But that just speaks volumes of how much you've had to overcome, but really being strategic of where your time was going. And I think that's, as entrepreneurs, we have to, just as human beings, because all the things of just like getting enough sleep, drinking enough water, eating enough food, all the things that like are just basic.
Yeah.
But then you put everything else on top, it's like a whole nother world. That's a big part of just time management, really being able to prioritize where your energy is going so you can do it. And getting 2 to 3 orders, that's where everyone starts, just having that first sale and moving forward from that. And as you started to expand, what was that leap from going from full-time to then full-time entrepreneurship for you?
Well, luckily by the time that I was, you know, jumping full-time into my business, I was with my husband and my daughter and I had moved into his house and we were a lot more stable. And I had gone from working a 40-hour week to being able to work part-time because my business had taken off so much. And it was funny because I quit my day job like a week before we got married and we had just had this conversation. I was like, you know, it was getting closer and closer to like the holiday season and stuff like that. And I was just looking at him and I'm like, my last holiday season was hard and I was working a full-time job and we had my daughter and, you know, we're trying to get everything going. And I was like, that was insane. Like, I'm amazed I didn't call out sick to my day job. And I was like, I don't know how to do that again. And he's like, I don't think you can. We talked about it and I was like, this is that point. And like, it's going to be a struggle. It's going to be a little harder because you make that leap. And I remember putting in my notice at my job and I was just like, this is it. Like, I no longer am looking to someone else for my paycheck. Like, my paycheck is dependent on me. And, you know, and it's like, my husband does a lot, but like, when I made the decision to do this full time, I was like, I am still financially responsible. I'm still, you know, it's like, there are still things that need to be paid for and stuff like that. And it was definitely scary. It was definitely figuring out that new normal of being an entrepreneur and being in charge of everything that went with it.
I believe that. And that's amazing that you had a supportive partner as well. But I think the biggest thing that I wanted to touch on was that you believed in yourself. Like, you went all in on your business. You didn't hold back. You started to kind of see, even with the holiday season, I'm sure more orders come in, and just where your energy really wanted to go. It goes back to that, but really truly believing yourself, because it is a huge leap of faith, because you don't know what's on the other side when you do that, especially when you give up the consistent paycheck to have, you don't know what the paycheck's going to be or when it's coming.
Yeah. It's like my, you know, my husband's salary, like he gets paid, like, you know, it's like clockwork. And I'm like, well, I got paid this week.
Oh, I get it. And so many people listening to you too as well. And I think that's a big part of just moving through this journey, understanding what makes sense and when to take that leap. Because I think a lot of people that I've spoken to that take that leap, or even I went to a networking event yesterday and the guy was asking, when do you know when to take that leap? And you outlined it really beautifully of just, you trusted yourself. You knew it was time. the busy season was about to happen, and it continued, as I'm sure it didn't stop. So after you did move through, okay, I'm jumping in full time, we're going to figure it out, it's going to be great. What was that process, that first year or two of just like really making that transition?
Well, I will say it has been eye-opening, because I think that, you know, myself included, like when I decided to do this full time, I, even then, like even in that first like 6 months, it was like a realization that you're it. Like there's no one else to go to for like, hey, these emails need to be done, or hey, you need to figure out how to do taxes. Like there are so many things. And it's something, unfortunately, that I still struggle with, that I'm trying to work on more and more every day. But it's that realization, especially early on, like you're a one woman show, you are in charge of all of it. And I mean, I just got my desk set up in my son's nursery, because I'm like, I have to actually separate from going to the kitchen, from doing the worker bee aspect of everything. And I'd say that's one of the biggest things. It's, you know, and it's been interesting. It's been a lot of discovery on the other part of things that's outside of just production.
Absolutely. Because it's not really easy to see what happens behind the scenes, and especially having a separate place to do work, because sometimes I would like work in bed and my husband's like, you need to have like separation of like sleep and work, and I'm like, I know, but it's just so much easier with social media. but to your point of like having it separate, of just being able to have a separate space away from the kitchen to do like the back end stuff and do everything else that needs to help run a business, and just looking behind the scenes, what are some of the tools that you use to help run your business? I know you have a separate place to do business. You're very good at time management. What are some of the other things?
It's funny, because I know, like, I even checked out some of your other podcasts, kind of get an or videos to kind of get an idea. And it's like, my tools are a little different. You know, it's like, even just having a desk was kind of a weird thing for me. Like, because I am such a, like if I sit down, I feel like I'm wasting time, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like my tools are things like my pots and pans and my thermometers and things like that. But I would say, I think one of the best tools has been the small business community. I would say that that's one of the things that's helped me the most and has encouraged me the most. Like we actually have a group of women entrepreneurs that we kind of bounce things off of. And it's helped because it makes me feel like I'm not a crazy person for doing this. But yeah, just being a part of that and having that network to kind of help encourage me and to keep going, that's probably been one of the most beneficial things that I've had.
I love that. And I do love that you brought up your pots and pans and thermometer, all of those things, because that's part of your business. That is a huge tool in order for you to get the product out there. And so I'm glad you brought that up. And I do agree, having a community is so beneficial, more than we even know, because we do sometimes feel like we're crazy because we have these crazy ideas that actually work. But being able to be around other people that are on a similar journey, because they can give feedback, they can be really brutally honest in the best way possible. And it's just to help us grow and learn. And I feel like we always learn something from everybody we encounter. I've already learned so much from you, but that's part of it. That's part of that process. And having a community, I think, is one of the best tools that anybody can have when they're in a business or owning a business, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's helped immensely.
Yes, I believe it. And I've seen it myself for my businesses, and seeing things grow, it just really humbles you out and grounds you that you aren't crazy, that this is something, you're crazy enough to make something work. That's how I look at it. And being able to just be around other people like that, like-minded people. It all comes together. It does. It truly does. And through your journey, because I know you've had a lot of obstacles you've had to overcome, what are some of your success stories that you could share with us? I know you have a million, but if you could share one or two.
Well, I mean, you know, as I stated before, like getting out of my marriage is one of my success stories, because I feel like it really pushed me into building my business more. And I mean, I've actually won a few awards with my confections, and I'm actually working with the Sheraton downtown. I do confections for their VIP suites. That's one of my big success stories, because I feel like I've been trying to work with hotels for a while to kind of, it's a good stable client. And I've worked with different like ice cream shops and things like that. I think those are like my biggest success stories, is working with certain clients and getting the recognition that I've been, you know, working so hard for.
Absolutely. I love this because it's not something that's talked about, of all the back work that you have to do to get to the hotels, to get to the ice cream shops, all the things that encompass just every day, putting in the effort, making sure that everything is up to par, but being able to continue to expand, and the consistency of a hotel, because I'm sure it helps because it's an everyday thing.
Yeah.
Especially for VIP.
Oh, yes.
That's so neat. I didn't even like think of that until you said that, but it's just being able to expand and diversify how you're being able to make an impact. And it's really that taste and that flavor, and it's all natural as well. And I wanted to touch on that too, because I know that's a big part of what you've created, is the natural ingredients. Can you speak a little bit more to that?
Yeah. So when I started doing this, I was kind of just like trying my hand at everything. Like, I wanted to learn about everything. I wanted to try everything. And it's funny, because kind of the reason I went the more natural route was when I was getting back on my feet after my divorce, I was working at a osteopath's office, and I was working with people who are more on the holistic aspect of things. And we had nutritionists and things like that. And I was like, man, I got so used to being like, well, I can't pronounce that ingredient, or what is this? Like, and I love the concept of being able to use those natural quality ingredients, and how much better things tasted, and how much more you could taste the quality of things. And so it's funny, because it's like a doctor's office, but it really made me appreciate those little details more. And so it's really kind of formed my brand on, you know, it's, I want people to be able to bite into something and know what they're tasting, and know that it's, you know, I mean, it's candy, it's not necessarily healthy, but it's a little better for you than all those random ingredients that you can't pronounce.
So,
yeah.
So true, because you're right. If you, like my mama always used to be like, if you can't read it, like, don't eat it. And she's still like that.
Exactly.
But you know, I've learned along the way. But I love that you really did take that aspect of where your environment was, and you were so conscious of that, and applying that to every piece of candy or chocolate that you create is based off of knowing that you know exactly what you're putting into your body, and being surrounded by doctors, and that holistic approach really shaped it. And it's amazing how things kind of just really come full circle sometimes, based off of like your upbringing and what you were exposed to then where you were working, and how it just transformed over time. But I love that you've been able to create these natural ingredients, as well as being able to expand your brand. But in speaking of expanding the brand, where do you see everything moving in the next few years for you?
Well, I want to, like, because right now I work with a commissary kitchen. Most people with small businesses, like, that's the easiest route to go. And I really want to be able to get to the point where I have my own kitchen, and that I'm doing things that way. I really want to work with hotels more. And I think, you know, I'm sure it's what a lot of small businesses want, but I really want to have it where my pink boxes, where my brand is recognizable. Like, people see the logo at a store or something, and they know what it is right away. Like, I want to be that recognizable brand that people go to for quality confections. Like, I'm not really going the storefront route, but I really want to be able to be completely independent and do things that way, and be that recognizable brand that people go to.
I love it. And that's honestly when I met you at the event and I was like, oh my God, I love the colors, the pink, the unicorn. I was like, oh my gosh, this is like my vibe. But it's
Oh yeah,
very
and
recognizable.
that pink horse goes everywhere with me. I was like, if nothing else, people know where that horse is.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you have to check out our information so you can see it because it is very recognizable. It's beautiful and it's very catchy. And that's where I think it's goes down to just being able to get visibility with the right customers that you want to impact, and every bite makes a difference, right?
Yes.
Not a tagline, it's just what I came up with. But
Like it
I'm
though.
so
I
curious.
like
Exactly. But I'm really curious, where can people find you, Kimberly? Where is everything located so people know and they can find you?
So they can get things through my website. It's tutdessertcandy.com. And so they can go there. I'm on Instagram. I am also around a lot of different places in Colorado. I do wholesale. I actually work with a distillery downtown called Deviation. I do gin truffles for them. And then I'm in a bunch of different local markets, Littleton Meats, Maker's Market. But I mean, they can always come directly to my website. I've got everything on there. I do weddings and events. I do the wholesale. So yeah, it's probably those are, I'm in a bunch of different places. If you can find my hot pink boxes, you're good.
Perfect. Just look for the hot pink. But
Yes.
Kimberly, thank you so much for coming on, just sharing your amazing journey with us, how it all started and where you are today. And we'll continue to grow to get that recognition. That is so amazing what you've been able to accomplish starting from your kitchen with no dishwasher to where you are today.
Yeah.
But thank you again just for sharing your beautiful energy with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment below what was the biggest takeaway from Kimberly today. I'm sure she would love to see that, and we'll see you on the next episode.